What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, April 17th, 2023. Started a brand new week, and it is another very, very busy news day, and we're going to try and get through as much of that as we can before it's time to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. And Julie is in our control room today taking care of business, and so she's going to be answering the phones when you do call on in. It is a very lovely day here in Indiana. We did have some thundershowers over the weekend, but beautiful blue sky here. Spring is clearly springing. The critters are crittering. The flowers are blooming. And except it's very, very windy, so we're worried about our electric power. And that t-shirt weather we had last week, well, that's kind of gone. It's kind of chilly again. But, you know, climate's what you expect and weather is what you get. And overall, it's kind of a nice day. I spent a little more time outside than I normally do. Get that old vitamin D going in the skin here. All righty. Well, first, a little bit of news this morning. Elon Musk's SpaceX was going to launch their Starship for its first test flight this morning. They were within 15 minutes of the launch, and then a hold was declared, and then they said there will be a scrub for at least 48 hours, and obviously they're being very careful. This is the first time this spacecraft has flown, and they want a beautiful flight. They don't want a newsworthy explosion just off the pad, so I don't blame them for that. Now, before we get into the real news, something kind of weird came up over the weekend, and it's causing a bit of a stir on social media, and it has to do with Netflix is coming out with a new film about Queen Cleopatra. And the issue is, this is not a dramatization. It is not a retelling. It is supposed to be an historically accurate documentary. And there's only one small problem, is they cast a black actress to be Cleopatra for what is supposed to be an historically accurate documentary about Cleopatra. And, of course, historians all over the world, Egyptology experts like Zahi Hawass, he's basically stood up and he said, you know, this is falsifying information. Why? Because Cleopatra was not an Egyptian. She was Greek. She was part of the Ptolemaic dynasty of rulers who ruled Egypt following the death of Alexander the Great. So she's Greek and, yeah, white. She was white. And there are petitions online saying this should not be shown. It's going to convey a false impression as to what Cleopatra was all about. And it seems to be another example of corporate media, you know, sort of rewriting history and changing it to pander to a certain given social segment. And, you know, if you're doing it as a drama, maybe you can get away with it. But when you're claiming to be an historical documentary, that is just unacceptable on that one. Okay, now we're starting to see a little bit of a schism open up between the legacy traditional media and our government. Over on Fox News, Rachel Campos Duffy was basically on a rant regarding Feinstein, Fetterman, Biden, and Lindsey Graham because they don't seem to be doing their job. They're not voting on measures in the Congress. Biden seems kind of out of touch and makes the point that these people in Congress don't really have a clue what they're voting on. They're lifetime career politicians. That's all they've ever done. Very few of the members of Congress have actually had careers outside of politics. Some have, like Dr. Ron Paul, but many of them are multi-generational career politicians, and being a politician is all they know. And that actually makes it a lot easier for lobbyists to come on in and say, well, look at these charts and graphs and all these equations here. And if you vote yes, bad things will happen. And if you vote no, good things will happen. And here's a campaign donation. And the politician says, well, yeah, pretty graphs. Yeah, I'm going to vote the way you want me to vote. Anyway, Senator Ron Johnson is out there talking a lot about what the investigation into the Biden family adventures is revealing, and of course is being totally ignored by the legacy media. But he came on out saying that the level of Biden family grift is simply jaw-dropping. Now, Ron Johnson's comments about the bank records confirming allegations of corruption, which were made in a report back in 2020 called Hunter Biden, Burisma, and Corruption, the Impact on U.S. Government Policy and Related Concerns. And so the Biden family controversies are in the forefront of American politics once more, even though they are not prominent on your TV news screens at home. And, you know, this is a serious situation. Reading the title of that report, it was like they're acknowledging the corruption was there and they're saying, okay, how is it going to harm us? And let's just deal with that. And I guess covering it up was number one on the hit parade there. So Senator Johnson continues to pursue his case, claiming that bank records have now confirmed the allegations made in the 2020 report. He's accused the media of ignoring his report and the controversy surrounding Hunter Biden's laptop because the corporate media has its own political bias, which they're not supposed to do. I actually took a journalism course in Congress, and they were out there pushing objectivity, fair and balanced, Edward R. Murrow kind of thinking. And that does seem to have gone away from the current corporate media here. Now, a little bit of good news. We have been talking for years about the idea of civil forfeiture. Now, this was introduced, you know, decades ago as a tool to go after the ill-gotten gains of drug lords, smugglers, things like that. And unfortunately, police agencies and even the FBI have sort of said, you know, here's an opportunity for us to build up our budgets, you know, by going on out and seizing property that we suspect may be involved in a crime. And it just sort of got completely out of hand. And there was an incident back in 2021. We reported on this when it happened. And there was a safe deposit box business in Beverly Hills. And in 2021, the FBI raided the place and they basically confiscated everything that was in the safety deposit boxes, even though the judge who granted the warrant said the contents of the boxes had to be returned to the owners. It has not happened. OK, and now there's a lawsuit involved. And using federal forfeiture records, the Institute for Justice calculated that since 2000, the Department of Justice, which includes the FBI, and the Treasury Department have taken, actually stolen is probably a more appropriate word, $50 billion with a B in total forfeiture revenue. And the vast, vast majority of these, there was no criminal charge, there was no trial, and, you know, getting your money back once it's been seized, it's very, very difficult. And the game that they like to play is really very simple. You know, they'll say, well, you can take us to court for years and years and years and years, and eventually you may get all of your money back. Or you can sign this little agreement now and let us keep half of it, and you get the other half back. And unfortunately, a lot of people go for that deal. And, you know, this is like the sheriff of Nottingham's men galloping through Sherwood Forest and stealing pigs and chickens and farmers' daughters just whenever they feel like it. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, situation our nation has descended into. All righty. Now, the trial against Fox News for defamation by Dominion Voting Systems has been delayed. Apparently, there are now talks going on about a settlement between Fox and Dominion. Dominion is kind of backing off their demands. They were originally saying $1.6 billion, and now they say, well, we may go for something a little bit less, and let's see if we can just settle this quietly. And I think the reason they're doing it is Dominion may have realized that this overt attack on Fox News makes it look like Dominion has got something to hide. And that is a terrible, terrible public image for a voting machine seeking the public trust ahead of the 2024 elections here. Now, getting into social media here, still a lot going on over at Twitter. And Elon Musk was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson and came on out and said that since taking Twitter over, he has discovered the government had full, complete access to Twitter users' private messages. When you were sending a private message to somebody, the government was able to read it whenever they wanted to. Okay. And, of course, we're now looking at this Restrict Act. It's right out of 1984 and George Orwell. It is a clear attack on American freedom and privacy. They're trying to justify this by saying that TikTok is a threat to national security. The government has to watch what's being said so that, you know, double plus ungood thoughts are not being shared across the Internet here. And that's just the cover. I mean, TikTok itself isn't really mentioned in the Restrict Act itself. And then there's this article out of Mint Press News that tells us what's really going on. Okay? Amid this hysteria that TikTok is a Chinese Trojan horse, an investigation by Mint Press News found dozens of ex-U.S. State Department officials working in key positions at TikTok. Other individuals with backgrounds in the FBI, CIA, and other elements of the national security state also hold influential positions at the social media giant. So the U.S. government did to TikTok what they did to Twitter and all these other social media platforms. They took a bunch of loyal U.S. government employees and said, go get jobs over there, and we will control what the American people are seeing, reading, and hearing very effectively that way. All right. Now, there's an article up in Canada Free Press, and it's certainly something that I tend to agree with. They're saying that people who expose the truth are not enemies of the American people. They may be enemies of those with something to hide, like war criminals, corrupt politicians, and so forth and so on. But this article is saying that the most of the American people don't know what's going on in the world because everything we hear from the government and the corporate media is an exaggeration or an outright lie that's designed to mislead us. In fact, the government withholds and classifies any information that exposes the truth, and if anyone tries to tell the truth, the government and their accomplices for the media brand them as criminals and threats to our democracy and start messing around with them. Take it from me. Been there, done that, did not buy the T-shirt. So, telling lies and then classifying the truth as a secret is nothing more than a way to criminalize the act of telling the truth. It's certainly a way to get around that First Amendment to abridge the freedom of speech. Classifying the truth to keep people in the dark is the height of tyranny. The Nazis and the Soviet Union did exactly the same thing. All right, now we've been talking about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT, and there's a new one out there that's supposed to be even cooler and hipper. And there's AI-created artworks, AI-created literature, AI-created music, and a lot of us organic human creators have been kind of nervous about, you know, are we as much out of work as mid-level, you know, company clerks because of AI? Well, no need to worry. Because the United States Copyright Office has declared that works generated by artificial intelligence do not qualify for copyright. Copyright is something reserved to the human being. So for all the musicians, artists, authors out there, you know, keep pursuing your creative dreams here. At least for the moment, you are not going to be competed with economically with the artificially intelligent competitors here. Now, over the weekend, we had a lot of violence in the streets of America. In downtown Chicago, there was just this horde of teenagers that just all of a sudden flooded into downtown Chicago. They were smashing car windows. There was a police response. And all of the media coverage of it neglects to give you a breakdown of the racial distribution of the people in that crowd. But you can certainly tell for yourself from looking at the videotape. And some of the corporate media was out there trying to pass them off as, well, they were just enthusiastic youngsters, you know, just joie de vivre, and it's no really big deal. And Chicago's brand new mayor-elect is out there saying, you know, it's not constructive to vilify these rowdy teens, okay? And he says, you know, it was a bad thing for this chaotic takeover. But apparently somebody actually organized this teen takeover on social media. And that's another way to demonize social media and saying we have to, get this under control. Let's see. In Compton, California, Sunday morning, there was a looting mob that took over a convenience store. The crowd was so big, there was literally no room for any more people to get into the store. Now, we're hearing all these stories all over the country about runaway shoplifting and crime is out of control, and it's certainly something to criticize the Democratic governments about. But there was an interesting story, pardon me, that came out of Red State, and it says that when you read about the runaway crime in New York City, you get the impression that half the city's residents are criminals, and the reality is that there are only 327 individuals that account for over a third of these shoplifting thefts. And they go in, they get arrested, they get let out, they get arrested, they get let out. These 327 individuals have been arrested a total of over 6,000 times. Okay, and, you know, they're probably making a lot of money off of what they're stealing. They get let out. Again, the problem isn't the kids and the crime. It's the fact that the government seems to want to let this happen, maybe to destroy any instincts we might have to preserve our society when the New World Order people come on in and say, look, your country isn't working. We have a brand new country, fresh out of the box. Let's just put it over here and go forward from there. And apparently also in Chicago during the White Sox game, there was a fight that broke out in the stands, which even included a man punching a woman in the face. Guys, gentlemen, do not do that sort of thing. Okay, and so it's really kind of tacky. All righty, let's see. Now, there was a shooting in Alabama. It was at a Sweet 16 party at the Mahogany Masterpiece Dance Studio. And this article from VDare posts a comment saying, if you want to know exactly what's going on with a mass shooting, okay, you need to count the number of people hit versus the number of shots fired. And if it looks like the shooters have got lousy aim, then what you're looking at are black gangsters settling a score. You know, so just going on in, hitting the place, and getting on back out. All righty, over at Planned Parenthood, leading the depopulation of certain parts of the population here, the former director of strategic communications at the Southern New England branch of Planned Parenthood, Tim Yergu, 36 years old, committed suicide last week. Apparently, he was under investigation for promotion of child pornography. And I guess when you work at Planned Parenthood, you don't have much respect for young human beings to begin with. And there was also an embarrassment here the police wanted to raid Tim's house. They accidentally raided his neighbor by mistake, and there was some unfortunate circumstances from that. And Tim Yergo took his own life 5 days later. So, you know, child, I just don't get it. I thought about it an awful lot. I don't get it. I don't get it. All righty. Getting into the international news now. Isn't that amazing? We didn't have a single COVID story today. Getting into the international news here, the Taliban is promising Russia that they will not allow territory in Afghanistan to be used against Russia or Central Asia. They kind of had enough war, courtesy of the United States, and they would kind of like to stay out of the next one. Now, we were talking earlier about how the corporate media has abandoned its original role as watchdog on government abuse and now is working hand in glove with the government. And there's actually the New York Times came on out bragging about how they found the Pentagon Papers leaker before the intelligence services did. And then they ratted him out. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
A class action lawsuit over censorship has been filed. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Children's Health Defense has filed a lawsuit against Resident Biden and several top offices over government pressuring social media companies to censor users. The First Amendment is clear. The government cannot stifle speech. Asking a third party, like a social media company, to censor is still a violation of our rights. No matter who is actually doing the censoring, if it's being directed by the government, then it is a violation of First Amendment protected speech. Any government who silences anyone who questions their authority is tyrannical and authoritarian. My question is, why did it take so long to file this lawsuit? The White House admitted that they were doing this 2 years ago. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sebas Pashem, Parabellum.
Welcome back to our show here, and let's see, let's get into the international news. There's a lot going on there. A couple of articles trying to sum up what's going on over at the American Conservative. They have an article titled The Gathering Storm, and its first paragraph, I think, kind of lays out what we all need to be dealing with. The crisis of American national power has begun. America's economy is tipping over. Western financial markets are quietly panicking, imperiled by rising interest rates. Mortgage-backed securities and U.S. treasuries are losing their value. Why we did not learn our lesson about mortgage-backed securities back in 2008. And, people are losing confidence in the government, the media, the economy, the nation itself. And, the entire nation, we talk about an economic depression, but it's almost like the entire nation, the population, is going into depression. I really, really ought to look and see what sales figures for antidepressant medication are right now. I'll bet you they're going up rapidly here. And over in Russia, their operations in southern Ukraine appear to have successfully ground down attacking Ukrainian forces with a minimal expenditure of Russian lives and resources. Meanwhile, of course, the West, NATO, and the U.S. Continue to pour weapons and money into that. And speaking of money, another article, this came out of Zero Hedge. Before we send any more money to Ukraine, can we find out where the rest of our cash went? Okay. Now, back when we were dealing with the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, we gave the Mujahideen, who later became the Taliban, a whole bunch of man pads called Stingers. They used them against the Russians. They also sold a bunch of them on the black market. And then the U.S. had to go traipsing around the world, making deals with black market arms dealers and buying back our own missiles so they would not fall into the hands of terrorists. And this seems to be the way the world is working right now. And everybody's making money off of all the skullduggery, except, of course, the American people who paid for it all in the first place. Now, here's an interesting development, and I'm sure there's more to the story than they are putting on up here. But over at Fox News, they're reporting that Switzerland, which is famous for neutrality throughout all of the great turmoil of planet Earth, has now pledged to give $2 billion to Ukraine. And I'm wondering why. Now, yes, there was a lot of pressure on Switzerland from the West. Please throw some of that money that you got over to Ukraine. Switzerland normally would not. And I think somebody's got some blackmail material on somebody in the Swiss government because Switzerland, you know, they hang on to that neutrality. And it's not something that they would lightly give up without a really, really good reason. And, of course, now having donated or getting ready to donate $2 billion to Ukraine would make them a legitimate target for invasion if the war were to escalate. All right, getting over into Ukraine. Last night, the Orthodox Easter, Ukraine shelled the Donetsk Cathedral, and apparently 160 NATO officers were killed in this Kinzhal strike. And this is also another important one. Apparently, two power stations in the Belgorod region were hit by rocket attacks, blacking out that part of Russia. And this is something like 20 miles behind the line. So Ukraine is now starting to attack over the line of conflict into Russian territory itself. And I'm sure that Russia is not going to ignore that. There's a video floating around on social media showing United States M1A1 Abrams tanks in a field outside Ukraine. The video is being narrated by somebody who speaks Ukrainian. Meanwhile, Stalin-era T-54-55 tanks are now on the Ukrainian front lines. It's being asked, how useful could they be? Well, it depends what they're going up against. If they're going up against just infantry, yeah, they're going to be very useful. If they hit one of the Russian modern main battle tanks, they're going to be scrap metal. So that's how you plan for war. You make sure that your asset here is stronger than the other guy's asset here. And if this guy has a really powerful asset here, you put your more powerful assets here. That's why people in the military love to play chess. All righty. Now, there's a lot of propaganda going all over the world, all over social media. And apparently, there was this one individual, and her name is Donbass Devushka, or the Donbass girl. And supposedly a Russian Jew from the occupied Ukrainian city of Luhansk, who has been broadcasting Kremlin propaganda for months. And she's got like, a huge following here. She's even selling her own merchandise. Turns out to be a complete fake. Another complete fake. Her real name is Sarah Bills, a 37-year-old divorcee from New Jersey and a U.S. Navy veteran who served as an aviation electronics technician at Whidbey Island in Washington State. And apparently she's also putting out propaganda under the name Chiburka Vibes, Meatball Sub-Zero, Ugopnik, Ghost of Lugansk. She has 135,000 subscribers to her podcast, which she does with apparently a fake Russian accent. So, yeah, there's a lot of phony stuff out there. You got to be really discerning, discriminating. Oh, I didn't hear the music. I'm sorry.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Wall Street wizards on the lam from a mental institution claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper when all the money's
and
gone?
Welcome back to our show here. And let me back up on this story a little bit because I don't know where we got caught off going to commercials. We're talking about this social media individual going by the name of Donbass Girl, putting out propaganda, has a fairly large following, doing a podcast as well. Turned out to be a complete fake. She was pretending to be a Russian Jew from Luhansk, but in reality, she is Sarah Bills, a 37-year-old divorcee from New Jersey, U.S. Navy veteran. And so you've got to be very, very careful about what's out there. Be your own best analyst, okay? Don't wait for somebody else to tell you what's going on. Just take the pieces, put it together yourself here, okay? You know, prove that Sherlock Holmes was not an exception. All righty, moving toward the east here. Beijing is now urging Berlin to avoid strategic misjudgments in its policy towards China and to support the peaceful reunification of Taiwan. And notice all of a sudden, as Ukraine starts to deteriorate, all of a sudden, they're fanning up on China. You know, we've lost in Afghanistan. We are stalled in Syria and Iraq. We're losing in Ukraine. Quick, let's start a new war in China, and nobody will notice the other failures here. That seems to be what's going on in Washington, D.C. Now, diplomacy has a lot of rules, okay, when government representatives meet, they generally meet with their own equals in the opposing government. But sometimes they have what's called an upgrade, where a mid-level official is met by a higher-level official, or sometimes even the head of state. They call it an upgrade here. In this case, they're talking about China's foreign minister Wang Yi was in Moscow the last time he met his member of his own rank, Sergei Lavrov. Now he's being invited to the Kremlin to meet Vladimir Putin. And basically, it's showing that Russia and China are moving close together, and apparently large issues are being decided on. We don't know what those issues are, but I'm sure we can all take a guess. All right. Now, apparently, China's defense minister also toured the top Russian military academy. And again, this is underscoring the closening ties between Moscow and Beijing. And we need to be paying attention to that. Now, I will admit I'm not a military expert, but from where I sit, it's very difficult for the U.S. to take on Russia or China militarily. We're not even doing all that well against Russia right now. Taking them both on at the same time, I think, would be extraordinarily foolish. But then again, the only people in government who are listening to me these days are the NSA. All right. Now, there was an interesting article out of Sputnik Globe, and it was talking about the German foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, her visit to China, and saying that it was in line with the U.S. President Biden and U.K. Prime Minister Sunak. And they're saying it contradicts the practice of economic commercial ties that Berlin tries to maintain with Beijing. And so apparently there's a lot of discord going on. You know, China and Germany want to do business, and others obviously do not want that to happen. This is also adding to the internal strain that the European Union is starting to feel. Okay. Now, just a few days after China completed a major drill in the Straits of Taiwan and surrounding Taiwan itself, the U.S. has once again conducted a freedom of navigation exercise through the Taiwan Strait. This is the USS Milius guided missile destroyer. It's an Arleigh Burke, and it conducted a transit of the strait through the waters where high seas freedoms of navigation and overflight apply in accordance with international law. It's still a poke in the eye to China. And apparently the U.S. Navy has decided to deploy the 7th Fleet to that part of the Western Pacific. So that's a lot of hardware getting ready to go on over there and make stink face at China. Meanwhile, South Korea, the U.S., and Japan are holding drills as North Korea slams the U.S. over nuclear blackmail. That's because the United States has been flying nuclear-capable bombers and sailing nuclear-capable ships near the borders of North Korea, rattling its saber, and North Korea is saying, we understand you have nuclear weapons, we understand you are threatening us with them, we don't really like that. And frankly, I cannot blame them here. Okay. Good for the French people. That's all I can say. Good for the French people. Those protests are continuing. And apparently there was a big ruckus outside the Constitutional Court. They barricaded the court with trash. Other protesters faced off with the police officers. The yellow vests are now beginning to bloom this time of spring here. And the court is preparing to release their decision on whether the pension reforms are legal. They're probably going to say that they are, but the French people, it's growing, it's growing, it's growing. Good for them. I hope they finally get their government to listen to them like they did a couple of hundred years ago. Okay. Now, story from the Duran, the Palestinian resistance group Hamas attacked Israel with rockets from South Lebanon back on April 6th. The resistance was responding to the repeated attacks on Palestinians praying at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem during the holy month of Ramadan. Now, extremist Jewish settlers had insisted on going to the mosques against longstanding traditions, which provoked tensions. and the Israeli police used brutal attacks on the Palestinians praying, including beating women and arresting 400. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu's extremist government opposes the creation of a Palestinian state and supports the expansion of Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank. And that, of course, is emboldening the settlers who not only attacked Al-Aqsa Mosque, but continue to attack the Palestinian homes in the West Bank area. All righty. Syria and Saudi Arabia continue to move closer together. Saudi Arabia is talking about bringing Syria back into the Arab League, which would make the U.S. Interference in Syria that much more difficult. And demonstrating that new closeness, Syria and Saudi Arabia are resuming consular services and regular airline flights between the two countries. So now you can board a commercial aircraft in Saudi Arabia and fly to Syria. Okay. All right. Here's an article. It's a little alarming. It's also out of the Duran. And it's titled, How the U.S. Regime is Scaring Its Public to Accept Martial Law. That certainly seemed to be part of the agenda with all this COVID masking and six-foot separation, just to see how far they could push us before we said, this really is ridiculous, which we're all saying now following that report out of the British Medical Journal that the masks had zero effect on COVID transmissibility. Even the medical grade, the N95 ones, don't work. Okay? And maybe all of this rampant crime in the streets of our country and all these shootings are all being done to get us so scared of crime that we will accept a police state to please, dear daddy government, keep me safe and in my home, send in my welfare meal, and let me watch corporate TV. So, because I don't understand why the Democrats would allow the crime to go rampant in their cities. It's certainly not going to get them any votes other than from the criminals. Anyway, getting into the economic news here, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen is saying that global dollar hegemony could be undermined by the Western sanctions, which is kind of stating the obvious, because if the whole world is using the dollar and the U.S. government says, well, now you can't use the dollar because we don't like you, and we're going to tell you can't use the dollar because we don't like you, and you can't use the dollar because we don't like you, and then all of a sudden all the other countries start saying, well, you know, skip using the dollar, we'll just go back to using our own indigenous currencies. And so that seems to be happening, and Yellen is concerned about that because one thing our economic system is deathly afraid of is de-dollarization, because right now international demand is the only thing holding up the value of the U.S. dollar. Okay, the U.S. is not a manufacturing power. It does not have we just don't have all that much to sell. Even our much-vaunted weapons are now being realized as being expensive, ineffective, and countries are turning to other countries for their weapons as well. But some people are making money off of the war. Story out of Sventer Site Business, and it's talking about the 10 largest hedge funds in the world made nearly $2 billion off of the food price spike that occurred at the start of Russia's special military operation in Ukraine. And hedge funds are investment firms that buy and sell equities and commodities for profits. It's a very simple, uncomplicated form of trading. If you look at Eddie Murphy's movie Trading Places, that's kind of a commodities exchange that they're working in. So, yeah, they're making money. And here is something really kind of scary. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was out there making a comment that we have to win the war in Ukraine because there is such a desire to mobilize private capital in Ukraine. In other words, the bankers want the war in Ukraine to be won just so that they can go on in there and loan a bunch of money to the Ukrainian people, as opposed to having the Russian bank come on in and loan the money to the Ukrainian people. So, yeah, there's again, all wars are bankers' wars. All righty. Now, this weekend, Poland and Hungary banned Ukrainian grain and other food product imports. Apparently, Ukraine despite being in a military operation or because of it, is able to produce these food products at a lower price than the European Union can. And so, you know, European food producers are buying Ukrainian grain and food products, and it is displacing domestic workers and domestic industry. So Poland and Hungary said, enough. We have to protect our domestic farmers, our domestic farms, and, yeah, we're not going to be buying any more of the Ukrainian grain. All right. Another article. This is from the Daily Mail. And it's talking about San Francisco, and San Francisco, I think, is an example of the deterioration of the United States of America over the last couple of decades here. So the headline of the story is why San Francisco is in the grip of an apocalyptic death loop. And they're out there saying the boom in working from home during the scamdemic trashed the local economy. People were spending their money near their homes out in the suburbs and the inner city where all the high-tech companies were located. Small businesses have gone out of businesses, restaurants. The homeless have moved in, and the homelessness and crime are out of control because of the soft-touch policies of the Democratic leadership. Now, there's been another one of these strange disasters taking out food supplies. This was over in Connecticut at the Hillendale Farms property. This happened Saturday. There was a huge, huge fire that basically killed 100,000 chickens. And I'm a little curious about all these chickens dying in fires or from the bird flu or from the rest of it, just as we're being introduced to this vat-grown chicken meat that is actually made from perpetually reproducing chicken meat cells. And the reason I make that point is because normal cells in healthy life forms eventually die. They stop reproducing. That's what the aging process is all about. And it's basically an evolutionary mechanism so that old farts like myself get out of the way of the new up-and-coming sheeple. But in order to make these bioreactors producing chicken meat work, they had to use chicken cells that never die and never stop reproducing. And there's a name for that kind of a cell. It's called cancer. Okay, and the FDA has already approved some of this stuff to hit the stores. And just as they're getting ready to sell you this Soylent chicken, the real live chickens are just, they're being killed off. Okay, and I don't think it's a coincidence. All right, let's talk about the border here. A story coming on out of Breitbart. Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security has released more than a million migrants into the U.S. through a parole pipeline. And this is a foreign population that exceeds the populations of six states here in the United States. Yes, the smallest ones, obviously, but still, it's a huge, huge mess. And we're coming up basically on the end of Title 42. Technically, it ended when Joe Biden signed a declaration saying that the COVID emergency was over. But in the next week or two, the borders are going to be opened, and there's going to be a tsunami of illegal immigrants pouring on in. It's going to destroy the country. It really is. And the people who are pushing this open borders, they don't seem to grasp what they're doing, or maybe they're just being paid to do what they're doing on behalf of the New World Order globalist people. there is a group that has been down on the border leaving caches of water, emergency food, supplies, maps, directions to get resources. And now they want to sue the Border Patrol agents for destroying those caches of supplies for illegal immigrants. And this is really through the looking glass, because those people putting those caches there are in violation of Title 8. And they should be looking at some serious jail time for what they're doing. Okay? Anyway, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, when it was created, it was supposed to be a temporary prosecutorial discretion action for certain illegal aliens brought to the United States as minors. Now it's become a permanent amnesty for that group of illegal aliens. The DACA illegals are back. They are getting even more welfare than they got before. Okay, a couple of little facts here before the end of the segment. 43% of all food stamps go to illegals. 95% of warrants issued for murder went to illegals. Less than 2% of illegals are picking crops, but 41% are on welfare. More than 66% of all births in California are to illegals on Medi-Cal. 39% of all California students are illegals. There are more facts like that. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bull out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me.
This feels like heaven. You're listening to RBN, In Defense of the Republic.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite 7 Herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show here, and we have been hearing about all these educational districts, school districts, and generally reaching for equity, not equality of opportunity, but a mandated equality of outcome, that everybody should be equal in their capabilities. And they derive a lot of that from the phrase in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, and not understanding that that was a refutation of the concept of a noble class. Okay, that's really all that that meant. Up in San Francisco, San Francisco Unified School District, back in 2015, was looking at the high failure rates in eighth grade algebra, and so they delayed algebra until ninth grade. When I was in high school, we were doing calculus in ninth grade. And they put the low, average, and high achievers all in the same classes in the name of equity. The goal was to improve achievement for Black and Hispanic students, preparing more for advanced math. A new study by Stanford says that it didn't happen. In many cases, Black students just simply aren't applying for the math classes. They're not interested. Okay, so that really kind of failed. All right, Joe Biden is still pushing for the smart gun idea, and I don't know. If it's going to prevent an accident, I don't know. I have to think about this one. I might not be all that opposed to it. I know it can be misused. Anything that has a positive benefit for the population can be used against them. Cell phones, good example right there. Now, the Illinois Supreme Court has denied a motion for recusal in this gun ban challenge for judges who received $1 million each from anti-gun Illinois Governor Pritzker. Okay? And now they're sitting on this challenge to the gun ban, and they're refusing to recuse themselves. So guns aren't the problem. Corrupted politics is here. All right, we have a little bit of science news to get through, and there's a lot of concern over the Cascadia Fault, which runs up the west coast of the United States. It splits off from the really big one there. I can't remember the name of the big one there. But the Cascadia Subduction Zone, apparently there is a crack in the ocean that is venting all kinds of gas, and they're concerned that there could be a quake. And almost as if to punctuate that, there was a quake near Vancouver Island at 6 o'clock on, I'm sorry, magnitude 6 on Thursday morning. All righty. There has been an eruption of a Russian volcano let me look at this here. It was the Shivaluk volcano, and it threw so much debris into the air that air flights have been canceled even in Alaska. Now, that volcanic ash, it's not ash like you would see in your fireplace. It's powdered glass. And if it gets into your engines, it can ruin your aircraft. And that's why they're taking the precaution here. Okay. Also over the weekend, we had snow on the summits of Hawaii's Big Island up at the observatory. In fact, they even issued a driving warning for that. All righty, there's the music. It's time to take a station break. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Expect to pay more at the pump again. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Yesterday, the average price for a gallon of gas was $3.50. Also yesterday, OPEC Plus announced that beginning next month, they will be cutting oil production by 1.15 million barrels a day. The announcement, let alone the production cut, cut are certain to cause gas prices to rise even higher. Remember, gas prices go up, so does the cost of everything else. Between inflation and gas prices, cost of living is getting out of control. For the sake of background, don't forget that on the day President Biden took office, the national average gas price was $2.39 a gallon. For more news and commentary, visit liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.